No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Barry Essentials. On today's show, we recap the Bears' Week 2 loss to the Texans and much more. What's good, Prez?
Well, A-Dub, it's Tuesday evening here in Chicago. I'm back. Good to hear from you, my brother. And I can't say that I was surprised about the outcome on this. You guys heard our preview show. I told you guys exactly how this thing was going to happen. And I'm just saying, A-Dub, was I wrong? Everything that I said, it came to fruition, unfortunately.
You brought me back down to earth, man, and had me thinking a lot after that game.
Well, let's just, you know, pull back the layers of it. Caleb Williams, obviously, week one, had his welcome to the NFL moment. You and I talked about that. We talked about the fact that he has to be better, but we also talked about the factors surrounding him of why he didn't have that success in week one. The offense never got rolling, right? But then here we are. Primetime television again and again, audience. What did I say? We always act a fool on primetime TV.
You didn't lie about that.
And now, Caleb not only got his welcome to the NFL moment, he got his welcome to Chicago moment because he had his primetime baptism, A-Dub.
And it was just a tough game for him, man, overall. And it was just a tough game for the offense overall. So it looked pretty ugly, man. And I hope the Bears can get it right going forward.
There's a lot to unpack. Obviously, the offensive line play was atrocious. You and I, we're going to dig into that here as we get into this episode. But, I mean, high level, A-Dub, they had a chance to win this ball game. I mean,
right.
In the fourth quarter, had the ball in our hands, you know what I mean? And they dropped what I thought was a winnable and close game. Because the Houston Texans, bro, this is a team that was a game away from the Super Bowl with a quarterback that I think is going to lead them probably to a Super Bowl or two when it's all said and done. And the Chicago Bears played that team very tough and had a chance. And I think that's what made this game tough, because we saw an opportunity to basically steal one.
As bad as the offense played, right, it was like, hey, the defense done their part. And all the way down, man, to that last drive, bro, to have a chance to win the game, man. It just tells you about this Bears team that all isn't bad.
This team, it's frustrating, right? Because we see the improvement, but improvement is not going to get the job done, right? And the offense shows some strides, but it's still not what we need. It's still not what we expect. This is 2024. We expect to have an offense that's credible, an offense that if we need to get a quick score, we can depend on that offense to get that done. And right now, we do not have that type of offense, A-Dub.
Not enough, man. And not the ability to show consistency either. So it's like, you need your offense to be able to move the chain, man. And with his offense going thus far, these first couple games, man, doesn't look good.
I'm just going to be honest with you even more so. The moment that they announced that they were wearing them orange fucking jerseys in audience, you guys know how I feel about them jerseys. I knew it was going to be some bullshit, A-Dub. I knew it.
They got to move on from those jerseys.
They always do it, man, every fall. You know what I mean? But I'm telling you, I've been on record. I have said it. That shit does not work out well for us. And honestly, when I see that, I get nervous. And watching it, I got triggered again, just being honest with y'all. But A-Dub, the defense, man, I mean, they showed why they're going to be a top five unit in this league. I mean, the Texans, as I mentioned earlier, that's a top offense in the league. You and I, we pretty much discussed all the top options in that offense, and they're lethal. And the defense did a really good job of holding them to just one touchdown, bro.
You done your job, man. I mean, the second half, they only gave up a field goal to the Texans. So that defense really came to play, man, especially in the second half.
I mean, and even from the running standpoint, I know Joe Mixon missed time. He got injured. But I thought we did a really good job of controlling that running game. And again, I mean, those are some things that we even brought up as keys to victory. And I feel like our defense definitely held up there into the bark.
And what you want your defense to be able to do that you and I talk a lot about is give your offense a chance. And I believe the defense did that.
No, they did. And like I said, this group, They're going to be dominant, man. And I don't really use that word too often, but I think that this defense has that ability and that potential. I mean, you got to think about it. We haven't even seen Montez Sweat get off yet, but
Nope.
it's been all the people around him.
I do like the supporting cast that Montez Sweat has. And you and I have talked a lot about those guys already, man. The secondary, Edmonds, and the rest of those boys, man. They're just good, man. That's what you like about this defense. They are loaded.
But I think the story of all season is going to be this offense and the offensive line in particular. I mean, you and I, we talked about it going into the matchup with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. Hey, man, those guys are really fucking good, right? And we know that the average offensive lineman is going to struggle with those guys, but
Yeah.
we don't have the average offensive line. And the 37 dropbacks for Caleb, and he had 36 pressures. Damn, that's a crazy stat.
It pretty much says that, hey, your quarterback really don't have a chance, man, when
In
he's getting
hell.
right, exactly. When that much pressure coming at your quarterback, I mean, what do you want a guy to be able to do, man, in those type of situations? So I kind of felt bad for Caleb to have to go through that, man, because that makes his job a lot harder, and it makes it tougher for the offense for sure.
Ada, in the previous show, we talked about Rome and Keenan, would they play? And Keenan had not practiced all week. We saw him re-aggravate that heel injury in week one. Rome, on the other hand, we saw that he practiced on Friday, which, it definitely led you to believe that he would probably play on Sunday, which he did, and
Right.
Keenan missed the ball game. So he was inactive. But I want to ask you, I saw a name on that inactive list, Velus Jones, that was inactive.
Because I didn't hear a lot about Valus and his availability, that was going to be a problem. And, I don't know what happened there. I hope the guy's okay for sure, but that was definitely something that caught me by surprise.
I think that was performance related. I think that was the organization sending him a message. They gave him opportunity early in the season. He's muffing kicks and punts. Can't have that. So I think that was more of a message. So when I saw that one, I was like, okay, Eberflus is trying to hold some people accountable. Now, when are we going to hold Nate Davis accountable?
Hey, man, don't get me started, man, because Nate Davis is a trigger for me, Prez. So don't do me like that today, man. Don't do me like that. But yeah, to your point, man, when it came to Valus on return game, he does struggle, but I thought he did good running the football. So it was just shocking to see that Travis Homer, got a chance to play and he did not.
Again, they love Homer and what he does on special teams, so that's why he got the nod there. And if I'm Velus, man, I'm spending extra time, I'm getting extra reps in. He's gonna have to do something to put him back in a good lighting with his coaching staff, because right now, when you're getting that inactive nod week two, that ain't good, man.
That can be a sign that, hey, you know what, Velus, your time could be cut short here in Chicago, man, if it continues.
So I'm just gonna get to it, man. This Bears offense, audience, I know you guys want us to drill down. So here it comes. I'm just gonna just tell you, it's not easy to watch this Bears offense in 2024. I didn't think that Caleb Williams was gonna turn things around in just 1 week, but I didn't think that he'd go without scoring a touchdown and then we would only score 13 points. So my biggest thing with this is, when are we gonna see this offense, man? Because I'm not going to get into the what Justin did and what Justin didn't do, but what I'm going to tell you is that I don't like seeing DJ Moore looking so disengaged. I don't like DJ Moore kind of looking like what the fuck is going on. And that's what he looked like on Sunday.
In my opinion, it was a bad look for the Chicago Bears. If you got DJ Moore showing that type of frustration on camera, bro, you can see it. He's getting up off the ground. You can look at his face and tell that he was not happy about the way things were going. But the other thing is, man, it's so much that's going wrong on the offense, bro. You talk about penalties and everything else. It's a lot, Chris, to digest, man. And the O-line not doing their job, and these penalties coming up as well, it becomes too much and it's overbearing. And you can't get nothing going on offensively if you got all those problems going on, Perez.
A lot of people were very critical of Shane Waldron, rightfully so. But in this game against Houston, he took more shots down the field. And again, the results were not pretty. I mean, we know how that stuff went. Caleb was missing throws. He was overthrowing people. And those are some of those throws with DJ where I saw DJ was winning his matchup and he was not getting the ball in a place where he can do anything with it.
You know what's interesting here? In the offseason, you and I've seen Caleb Williams make very good throws, accurate throws. Coming into this season, bro, those same throws that we've seen him make, are the throws that he's actually missing. That's the part I look at Caleb and say, you know what? That's something that you own as the quarterback. You got to be accurate with your throws, man. If you're not on the same page as DJ Moore, that's a problem for sure in itself.
And again, I mean, you got to, well, let's talk about that. 3 minutes to go, 3rd and 4. DJ Moore is open. Caleb Williams misses that throw.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, DJ, when he walked off the field, man, it did not look good. And I know a lot of people are talking about his body language. And you remember when DJ said he wanted to run it back with Justin.
Right.
And I said, well, you also got to realize he had a career year with Justin last year. Justin helped him get paid.
Yeah, that's a big deal right there, Perez. You're right, man. And to go from where you were with Justin, how you guys were making some strides, and now go backwards with Caleb, because we know Caleb is a rookie, right? We all know that already, but you're taking steps backwards, right? Before you take some steps forward. And right now we're going backwards, you know, with how things are going between, you know, the quarterback and wide receivers. And just to see that from DJ Moore, man, it was just telling, because we know how competitive he is. So when he started to see things happen that he know could be different, he know that Caleb can make that play, it's frustrating.
And also on that 4th and 17, when he was going to Rome and he and Rome were not on the same page. I don't know whose fault that was, but I was like, that was awful. And that was the last snap of the game, game over. And like I said, it just, we need to get this offense in sync, bro.
And that last play you talked about to Rome, man, it had me puzzled. I was like, what in the world were you all doing? What was the play call, right? Like, what happened? How do you two, of all people, get so mixed up with what was going on out there? And I thought that was telling right there. Like, man, come on, Caleb. You and Rome been connecting pretty much, you know, all offseason, you know, preseason. You guys had it going on, you know. And all of a sudden, here we go in a crucial moment. There's a big meltdown right there between wide receiver and quarterback.
And my thing is, you can't depend on the defense, special teams, to win you games every week. There's no reason why this offense can't get into the red zone. I mean, they only got into the red zone once in 2 games.
Right.
You're not going to be able to depend on Cairo Santos bailing you out. You have to score touchdowns. You got to put touchdowns on the board in this league if you want to win. If you want to hang in with the big dogs, you have to score touchdowns. And that is what we were expecting. I wasn't expecting, you know, fireworks and, you know, 4th of July, but I was expecting more than what we're seeing, A-Dub.
And this is where Shane Waldron, that you talked about a little bit earlier, why he gets a lot of criticism, you know, in game 2 for sure, because the offense really, you know, didn't do much at all. And you talk about, I know I mentioned penalties earlier, but it's not just the penalties from the O-line. It was penalties from, you know, Cole Kmet and others. And I'm like, hey, man, this is just too much, you know. Then you got penalties with delay of game and things of that nature. So it's like, it's too much going on that's happening on the offensive side of the ball that's going wrong. And you got to look at Shane and say, hey, man, did you get your team really prepared for this game here? Because your offense does not look ready.
Now, I will say this. In the first half, I actually was impressed with what I saw from Caleb. I thought he looked decisive with the football. He was getting the ball out quick. Great things. But it was just that second half. It just, things just turned. And that was when D'Amico Ryans and that Texans defense, they just turned up the heat. And it was a bloodbath. Like, yeah. Every time you turned around, Caleb was running for his life, literally.
What kind of plays are you designing to, you know, help your quarterback? Because I give Texans credit, bro. I thought they made some adjustments, right? So, hey, they feel like they realized that, hey, we got to get to Caleb, because letting him sit back there in the pocket, he's going to tear us apart, right? And you're right, the offense was moving a little bit. And the Texans said, no, we're not going to allow that anymore. So the Chicago Bears could not adjust to that. And that was the problem for me. Like, hey, what is going on out here?
Well, and that's why it's on the offensive coordinator. You're the one that has the pulse of what's going on. The first right. half, you had it dialed up. It was working well. They went away from that quick passing game there in that second half. And my thing is, when you have a team like the Texans that are dialing it up like that, you got to go quick game. You got to keep them off track. You can't give them the ability to have an advantage on your offense. And I think that there's going to be a really good learning that's going to come from this from Shane Waldron, because he has to do better.
You got to keep that defense off balance for sure, man. Especially that Texas defense that's really good this year. And what really got to me, they were in a play where Cole Kmet had to come from the right side to the left side to block.
Yeah, I saw
that. Anderson Jr. I'm like, why the hell are you going? Come on, man. Edison Jr. can get back there really quickly, man. He's just that good. And all of a sudden, you send Cole Kmet from one side to the other side to try to make that block, man. That's a bad design play. So I'm like, Shane, this is where you got to be a little bit, better than that, bro. So for me, I'm like, some of those play calls were suspect for sure.
I also, and again, I don't like to get into the officiating, but the Texas linebacker, man, that basically threw a punch at Roschon Johnson, and we got no flag for that. That pissed me off because I'm sitting here like that. Not to say that that would have made us win or anything like that, but that was a key moment that it's like, okay, you letting the guy do something like that. He should have been ejected. There should have been some sort of consequence for that. They also took liberties with Caleb Lee. You know what I mean? So it's like the Texans, they got away with one there, and I think the officiating in this league has to be better. Has to be.
Al Shear, that punch, man, was not good. Then he also, kind of pushed, Darnell Wright. I'm like, you letting this guy do too much. And how you all missing all that? It's a lot of referees out there, bro. And every one of them missed the play. So I was like, what's going on out there? It's their job to see those type of plays, bro. So, I did feel like the referees let the Bears down in that moment. That's something that just can't happen, That's those type of plays cause ejections, and nothing happened.
I'll tell you one thing. When he pushed Darnell right, Darnell didn't even move. So I was like,
Hey, big homie just stood there, didn't he, bro? Like, hey,
Yeah, that was embarrassing. That was
it
embarrassing.
was, man. It really was. He was like, you can't move me, man. Why you trying to do that, young fella? It ain't gonna work, man.
So let's get into the defense for a second, right? Because while I'm high on them, and I think that they are a top five unit in this league, I thought the secondary was not as spectacular as they was in week one. CJ Stroud was smart. He avoided Jalen Johnson, but he was going after Tyrique Stevenson, and they were winning that matchup rep after rep.
CJ Stroud had going for himself, man, because anytime you see a guy that's able to, find a way to beat the defense, they took full advantage of that opportunity. So, that's why you got to give a quarterback like CJ Stroud a lot of credit because he was hitting the right receiver in those cases.
But at the end of the day, I think that defense, if it weren't for them, we weren't going to be in that game. We had no business being in this football game. Let's just be
No.
honest there. With the way our offense was going, A-Dub, we had no business being in this game.
And to me, it still gives me a lot of credit going to the defense because you actually gave your offense a real chance at this game because the offense is just that bad, bro. And the defense went out there every series and held it down to give up only 19 points, as I mentioned earlier, man. That is huge for the Chicago Bears. So I got to give our defense, man, a lot of credit, what they've been able to do. And that's one of the things you and I've been talking about with Eberflus. That is one of his specialties, man. When it comes down to defense, and you and I talked a lot about that last year, and he still got that going on right now.
My only thing when it comes to that is, yes, the defense is what that's his bread and butter. He's a defensive coach and a defensive head coach.
Yep.
But I'm still looking at Eberflus and like, I'm not convinced that he's the guy. You got that side of the football going well, but overall, I don't know, man. I'm just not impressed. He to me is still that same guy that was on the hot seat last season.
He will challenge these plays that I'm like, hey man, there's no way we're gonna win those challenges, man. Like, what did you see on those plays, Eberflus, that said, hey, challenge these plays, but at the end of the day, when you talk about Eberflus, bro, I get where you're coming from. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to get your entire team ready to play, and that falls on the head coach. And I think Eberflus got to take some criticism for that too. So the Bears are at a point to where, hey, it's time to win, man. Like, you've done so much. We know what the last few seasons have looked like. Eberflus, you got to get this team ready to go, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, DJ Moore, we need to get him involved. I mean, because even with that small sample size and with him not getting the ball in positions where he could do what he does best, we still saw DJ Moore getting yards after the catch, man. And he was out there
Right.
playing his ass off, right? And so my biggest thing is this guy has to be a factor in the game plan against the Colts. Has to be.
And we know what DJ Moore can do when he get the targets and put it in position to succeed, right? So I thought last game, against the Texans, we saw that, hey, he wasn't always in those positions to do damage. But anyhow, if you get the ball to him, man, make accurate throws, DJ Moore can do the rest. So it's all about getting to the asset that Eberflus always say. And you got an asset like DJ Moore, utilize that, man.
Now, A-Dub, I do want to go back to what you talked about with the coaches' challenges. You fucking right, man. Like, that shit burned me up. The
Yeah.
two plays that were challenged, they were obviously opposite of what he was hoping for. So it was like, what was he expecting that was going to happen there, man? And one of the plays happened right in front of him. See, now you're getting
Right.
me fired up.
Uh-oh.
And then the second one, which, okay, fine. You know, you're being a player's coach. Kyler Gordon is probably telling you, oh, you know, it wasn't the case. You're the fucking coach, bro. Come on, man. It's your team.
Everyone saw that that ball hit the turf, man. It's like,
Yes,
hey,
sir.
look,
Yes,
come on,
sir.
man. Eberflus, we all seen that, man. I knew my boy Kyler Gordon, didn't catch that. It was a good effort. I love that, but hey, it hit the turf, man. We move on. But the challenge that I'm like, you got a chance to see the replay multiple times and you still want the challenger, So that shocked me right there, Eberflus. But yeah, man, you cannot challenge those plays because you never know what we might need down the road, right? Fourth quarter, you might need to challenge something, Don't just waste them.
Hey, we're gonna have to just rip the band-aid off this thing. Let's get into the ugly of this fucking game. That offensive line, bro. Now, the second week in a row. Mean, bro, you letting your number one overall pick, potential franchise quarterback, get fucking killed behind this offensive line. Not only did he get sacked 7 times, bro, but he got hit time and time again.
Yes.
Bro, I was frustrated for him, and I saw his body language on the sideline, and people were like, look at Caleb, he looked like Justin did. I'm like, if you get a hit by 300-pound people play after play, what the hell are you gonna look like after that?
I mean, you're not going to be in good rhythm. Your rhythm, of course, definitely going to be thrown off. And you're going to make some tough throws, right? Because now you're under duress, you're under pressure, and you're just going to make some bad throws, And part of that because, hey, you're down, your timing is off, right? You're rushing and everything else. Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright, they really disappointed me, bro. I was disappointed to see how both of them played. And I'm like, man, your tackles play like that, Perez, you in danger, man. And from that standpoint, I'm happy that Caleb did not get hurt because he took some really hard hits.
Speaking of Darnell Wright, he looked like Charles Leno out there in that one play when he was a freaking turnstile. I hadn't seen that in a while. I mean, dude, Caleb got his fucking clock clean, dude. It was probably one of the cleanest hits I've seen someone have on a quarterback. You cannot have that shit.
Man, when I looked at Caleb, I'm like, I was happy to see him get up. I'm like, man, that was a tough one right there, bro. But those are the type of plays that do get your quarterback hurt, though, Perez. Like, hey, if he take a few more of those hits like that, Brian hits like that, man, he can get hurt, man. So I'm just glad that the guy, showing some toughness. I'm glad he's tough, he can handle some of this stuff, but for how long? That's the key.
That's exactly the point. How long? And he shouldn't be subjected to this. You guys put all these weapons around him on offense, but the one thing that you didn't do is put him behind a competent offensive line because you're going after the tackles. I'm going after Coleman Shelton in the interior line
Right.
because that shit was awful. Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins out there not knowing what the hell they're doing, running around, missing blocks.
Right.
What this whole thing, man, when I rewatched the ball game, A-Dub, I said, this thing is ugly, man. Where are the fundamentals? Chris Morgan? What are you doing with this unit? Why are you still the coach on this team? Your unit is not getting it done, sir.
Chris Morgan let Shane Waldron down big time. Because to that point, I've heard Cole Kmet talk about this, Perez, at the presser. He was like, man, a lot of things that happened out there against the Texans was mental. He was like missing blocks like that, He was like, man, we just can't have those type of things happen. And those type of things, were more detrimental than the physical part of the game, And he was like, hey, we got to clean that stuff up for sure. But to that point, you just talked about, man, that's what it is, bro, for the most part. It's like, hey, you guys cannot miss those type of blocks, man. Know who you're going to block. You at the line of scrimmage, you guys should be able to communicate effectively. And unfortunately, that old line not communicating well.
No, and you could tell that Shane Waldron wants to get the running game going, but you can't. I mean, dude, DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 18 yards.
Ouch.
So not only are they atrocious in pass pro, but you're not opening up anything for the running game. And then that's not allowing Caleb to, well, I'm saying again. And having a competent running game takes pressure off of the rookie quarterback. So right now, nothing is working well for this offense. Nothing.
It's a lot of throwing. And to that point, he had no choice because we can't run the football. If you can't run the football, that's more pressure, as you already know, on your quarterback. So we're forcing Caleb to make all the right decisions all the time. And that's a lot on your rookie quarterback, bro, especially in his second game in the season.
Yeah, you got to think about it too. Now, this is the second week that they've played a really good front. The Texans front was outstanding. This Texans front is really, really fucking good, right? So you see that Caleb Williams is being baptized in his first 2 games in the week. So that's why for me, I'm still giving the kid some patience because I'm like, you know what? he's facing some really good defenses early on in his career.
I am giving him a little grace too, you know, from that standpoint. And the fact that it's also his second game as well. So it's like, hey, man, it's a lot of pressure on the kid already. We knew that already, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, the defense, I'm sorry, the offense got to help him out, you know, and they're not doing a good job at that right now. So you can't expect your quarterback to go out there and do everything, you know, without the support that he needs to be successful. And right now, we're looking at the O-line, play calling. In fact, we also got injuries as well to key players. You know, that's a lot to deal with and digest as a quarterback.
This is my thing too. When the Texans decided to blitz, these guys were not picking up the blitz, A-Dub,
Right.
and the communication was not there. I don't know if they were rattled because they were on the road, not prepared, whatever it is. You can't have that. You know what I mean? Like I said, a lot of times, negative play, sack, they force a turnover, or just kill drives.
Right.
And I'm just going to say it about Ryan Poles. I think he's done a decent job here in Chicago. He fleeced the fuck out of the Panthers. Everybody knows that.
Right.
But the big thing is, he's a former offensive lineman. What he did when he was with the Chiefs is he helped them overhaul that offensive line. But why haven't he done that here in Chicago? That's the thing that I need to understand. You all put Ryan Bates on IR. Where was the corresponding move to bring someone in here on the offensive line to help with things? Because right now, this shit is just not working, dude. This offensive line is really, really bad.
I mean, he Nate Davis has not worked out for you. Coleman Shelton has not worked out for you, you know? And you look pretty bad right now, Ryan Poles, when you talk about the offensive line. So that's an area, man, that he needs to get better for sure, especially, you know, with your rookie quarterback. So it's a lot to digest when it comes down to that O line. And it's just tough to watch them play like this, bro. Look like they digress, man. And then that's the one thing that really stands out to most people that are watching the game or watched it multiple times, like you and I. You can see that, hey, that O line did not look good at all.
Like I said, it's never easy talking about a loss, but when you look at this, it's clear to see where the problems are with this team. And then also that you have a rookie quarterback who I thought at times in the game was trying to be a savior. And my
Right.
thing is, it's like, bro, we don't have time for the hero ball. You ain't a USC no more.
It's like, hey, if you got nothing else going, you're putting on your quarterback, then hey, he's out there trying to make plays and make something happen. And sometimes to his detriment, right? Like, hey, some of those throws he's throwing out there came up short, you know? Now we got interceptions going on, but you're forcing your quarterback to do too much. And that's not what you want to see happen.
He threw those two ill-advised passes, and that's, to me, that's when you see the hero ball. That's when
Yeah.
you see the frustration that he's trying to press and he's trying to make something
Yep.
happen, right? At the end of the day, don't put the kid in a situation where he's doing that. But also, he has to be coachable and he has to understand situation, because at that
Yeah.
time, that wasn't necessary. And the defense kept bailing him out. That play that Billings made, man, to force that fumble at the goal line, you continue to put this defense in positions where they were forced to have to make something happen, and they did every time they answered the bell, ain't up.
And I was excited for the defense. And I'm like, man, just seeing that turnover occur, bro, off from Billings, you know, recovered by, you know, Byard. I was like, man, that's dope right there, you know, and to that point, Perez, you love seeing this defense, man, get those takeaways. And but with that, I'm hoping that at some point, man, it motivates that offense, man. And to go out there and do what they did defensively, as you and I talked about, man, they continue to hold it down.
But we're seeing growth from Caleb, so that's good. And I also like too that the teammates, they stood on business. They didn't allow that funny bullshit with Caleb. Because remember in the past with Justin, teams were taking shots and liberties with Justin, and nobody on the team was really stepping up until Tevin Jenkins had enough. They weren't playing that with Caleb in that game, and I like that. I do like that. When we, to me, you got to fucking ride for your team, and that's what I saw. And that's what we saw in Hard Knocks. We saw that this team seems
Yeah.
like they're building something special, that they are there for each other. So we saw that in that moment. So that was a positive. I want to give you guys something positive from that.
If they came up like bodyguards, like, hey, get off our quarterback now. Hey, we ain't going, you know? So I did
Right.
like that part, man, to see all those guys step up for Caleb, man. That's sending a message to the rest of the NFL that, hey, we're not going to let you all just take hits on our quarterback and think it's cool, you know? Especially on his way out of bounds, you know? We're not going to go for that.
I just have to talk about that drive, man. That final drive where Caleb connected with Rome for that 27-yard gain. And I'm thinking, oh, we might have something here, A-Dub.
Right.
But then what happens next? Gerald Everett drops a fucking pass.
Sure did.
That's a momentum killer. And then Danielle Hunter picks up that sack, and then your boy Braxton Jones with the false start penalty, and I was like, okay.
I know that you were scratching your head right there, bro, because I'll tell you, man, Hunter ran right past, man, my boy Darnell Wright. I was like, that was a little bit too easy, man. And boom, it hit. And then you're right, Braxton Jones. I'm like, come on, man. You my tackles here. What's up, man? Both of you all have this kind of a meltdown, you know, on the last drive. I mean, come on, Perez. You put your quarterback in a 4th and 17, bro. It's no worse than that, right? So it's like, hey, you knew, you know, it was a miracle you're looking for now at this point.
And as I mentioned, we saw how that 4th and 17 went. That was a whole lot of nothing, and it ended with the Bears losing. And then that awkward exchange between C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams, which I want to get your thought on that, man. As a competitor, do you see anything wrong with Caleb, or do you think that he should have humbled himself and listened to C.J. as being someone that has been where he's trying to get to?
I think he was caught up still with the emotion of the game, right? You just lost. You made some bad throws, you know, and – it was a competitive game for the most part. You're still in that moment, right? So when C.J. Stroud was trying to talk with him, bro, he was trying to get the help off that field, you know? And, you know, I could tell that, you know what, Caleb wasn't used to this type of play, right? And that bothered him, bro. And we talk about 2 weeks in a row now, you know? So he kind of know the criticism was going to come and all that stuff. And it was just a tough way to lose that game, right? So I think that was more of the problem than anything else, you know, how they lost, right? And that bothers any quarterback, right? And I think at that moment, C.J. Stroud did the right thing. I love C.J. Stroud, the way he handled things, man. And to go up to Caleb and do what he did and embrace the kid and say, hey, man, gave him some words of encouragement, I appreciate that. But I didn't think Caleb was trying to really dismiss him. It was just the game, you know?
So I look at it like this. You and I both play sports, right? So we're definitely driven and competitive dudes, right? In the heat of the battle, I understood where Caleb was coming from, right? I saw it on his face. He was pressed.
Yep.
However, I think that it's important for us to humble ourselves at times, right? Maybe C.J. Stroud wasn't the messenger for that because I feel like he's only like a year or two older
right.
than Caleb. So for me, I kind of looked at it like, I mean, you acting like you Brady or something. But
that's a great point, bro. It's a great point, man. You ain't been in the league long enough, man. It's your second year. And here you go, you know? So
yeah.
You're going to be my competition for the next 10 years probably, you know what I mean? So to that point, Perez, he probably did look at C.J. Stroud in that manner, you know?
But C.J. had to grab him. You saw when he grabbed him to pull him close to make sure that he hurt him.
Yeah.
Caleb was like, yup, and then walked away. So in that moment, I kind of was like, see, I know people are going to pick this situation apart, but a lot of people aren't competitors. They're not competitive people. They're not driven people. I looked at it from that standpoint, but I do think – as long as Caleb is receptive to people in the building and he's not like that when coaches and teammates are trying to pull up on him, then I don't care. That's an opponent. And to your point, A-Dub, they're going to be competing against each other for the next 10 to 12 years. So maybe in that moment, Caleb is just thinking like, man, you ops. I ain't trying to hear what you got to say.
Right. And we let one escape us, man. So, you know, he felt like they had a chance. And I know one thing that kept replaying his head, bro, for him and like to your point with Rome, how they didn't hook up on that last play, man, that bothers him because – they were pretty much very much off on that whole play that we talked about. Yeah. So think about it. Now you got C.J. Stroud and everybody else trying to talk to you, bro. You still probably trying to process what just happened, man, on that last drive. You know what I mean? So that was enough in itself to say, you know what? I don't want to talk to anybody right now, Perez. You know what I mean? So, you know, we never know what was going through his mind at that point, you know, as a competitor.
And he probably also was in pain. So let's
just. Yeah, man. He took some crazy hits out there, bro.
All right, man. Game ball time. Offense, what say you?
On the offense, Perez, I decided to give it to DJ Moore.
That's right.
Really, he was kind of much of the safety net for Caleb. You know, he was the one guy who was pretty much, in my opinion, getting open, you know, often. Just that Caleb was missing. He should have had way more yards than what he had, though, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, you can see the DJ Moore effect, you know, that can come to fruition. You give it to him short, you know what he'll do with it, Perez. You throw it to him deep, he can catch it there too as well. So you can see, you know, that, hey, that Caleb and DJ Moore are going to have something cooking down the road.
Hey, listen, that's a fair one. And my thing is, I just want man number two to be smiling and get on the field. I don't want to see that version of him that's on the sideline looking defeated, looking disengaged, looking like what the fuck is going on, right?
Right,
We can't have that. And to your point, he's a professional. He's going to show up. He's on play. He's going to do what he needs to do. But you can tell, man, that the way that this offense is going right now, he's not feeling this shit, and rightfully so.
Right.
My game ball, I'm giving it to Cairo Santos. He's the guy that we can depend on, man. He's been one of the most consistent kickers, man, in the NFL since coming here, bro.
Right.
And he outscored the offense.
You know, only thing I try not to do, bro, as you and I know, we talked about this before, is I try not to jinx him, you know? And Cairo Santos been holding it down, man. And when you don't have to worry about your field goal kicker, bro, that is a plus. So, you know, I like what Santos been doing. Glad to have him on the team.
And multiple 50 yarders at that, dude. Those
Yeah.
weren't chip shots.
Nah.
So that's huge. That's huge because it's bailing out your offense. And for an offense that shows you that they can't get into the red zone, he's key. And he's going to be key all season if we're going to have a chance to stay in these games.
Yeah, and close games, you know. I think Santos is a clutch time kicker, man. So hey, keep doing your thing, Santos.
On defense, I'm giving my game ball to Tremaine Edmonds.
Okay.
I think he's been playing at a high level all season. And like I said, even last year, I told you guys I thought that he was a real standout on his defense. But again, they held this Texans high-powered offense to only 19 points. Tremaine Edmonds led the team in tackles in the ball game, had a tackle for loss, a sack, and he also put some pressure on CJ Stroud. And that sack that he had, that basically was responsible for the Texans three and out. And it was a big boost for, I thought, not only the defense, but it served as a boost for the team, right? It got everybody fired up. And I think when you have a guy like that that's paid what he's paid, he's going out there and he's earning that contract and then some.
Just to see him out there, man, and against the Texans doing this thing. That sack definitely was huge, bro. Big play for him, but seemed like he was all over the field, bro, in general, you know, making some very good tackles. Seemed like he was almost in every play, bro. You're like, hey, Tremaine Edmonds always there, you know, right where he need to be. So I like what he did, man. But the guy for me, you know, I'm gonna go with him again, Perez. I'm going with Andrew Billings. I mean, you know what, bro? I like what he's doing. I'm not gonna lie to you, man. It's just impressive for me, you know, to see him go out there, make good plays, make good stops, man, up the middle, man. I mean, he's been doing his thing, and I think his pressure been making a big difference right there, bro. I mean, he was the one that, you know what, caused that fumble that we talked about earlier, you know, that were picked up by Beyer. But this just shows you, man, that Andrew Billings is making a strong impact on this defense. So we know Montez what he's gonna do down the road, but hey, you gotta put Billings in that conversation, like, hey.
Yeah, he was a big reason why that Texans running game was stalled. I mean, Billings has been huge this season. I also want to give a little mention to Kevin Byard that you brought up there, recovered that fumble. He had 11 tackles, and he's coming here replacing Bojack. And I'm telling you, man, this is a former All-Pro, and he looks rejuvenated here in Chicago.
He does. I like the way the guys come in and play.
All right, Ando, before we get out of here, man, who is your bear down? Who's your underperformer for week two?
I gotta go with the O line as a whole, bro. I mean, we talked about them already. You know, you gotta give your running backs a chance. You know, you gotta give your quarterback a chance, man. When you're making those type of mental mistakes, bro, all of you all need to be put right there on blast. You know, so for me, that O line, bro, gotta take one of the biggest hits out there.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, we pretty much broke that down ad nauseam in this episode. But yeah, man, they were awful. And like I said, your quarterback's not gonna have success, your offense is not gonna have success, the running game's not gonna have success. It's all a trickle-down effect. And that's what we saw, especially when you face a dominant defense like the Texans have, right? It's just the recipe for disaster. So yeah, I mean, that's a fair bear down. And my thing is, they need to get this shit figured out ASAP.
I'm with you there.
My underperformer, my bear down is going to be Shane Waldron.
Ooh, talk to me.
Now, a lot of people, including myself, I was critical of Luke Getsy.
You sure was on my man Cool Hand Luke, but go ahead.
All right, we still not doing that though, Adele. We still not doing that. Now he ain't
Yes,
gonna do
sir.
that one. Yeah, ain't gonna let
You see, I had
that
to ease it in, right? I tried to throw it in there,
one
though,
slide.
you know?
No, you didn't ease. You went all the way. You are diabolical for
You said no
that
way, huh? No way,
one,
right?
sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
I bet.
But I see what you were trying to do there. You know what I'm saying? Respect.
Right.
But you go from Luke Getsy to Shea Walter, and the offense is still struggling.
Yeah.
You're still going through these situations where you're trying to figure out what exactly is the issue here? Why does this thing still look the way it looks, right? Because we were told that it was because of Getty, right? We were told it's because of Fields. We were told it's because of this. Well, those guys aren't here anymore. You replaced them with other people and other parts. You add it to the mix, and the shit still isn't running smoothly. And again, there's a lot of blame to go around. But I'm looking at the guy from a play calling standpoint. The first half, things were working well. He had a good mix. The second half, he goes away from everything that was working well for him. And it's like, come on, man, you're failing the offense when you do that. You got to be consistent. If something's working, like, what are we doing? Let's not try to reinvent the wheel here. You know what I mean? You have really good weapons on this team, whether it's Cole Kmet, right? Cole Kmet's snap count went up in week two, but he's not getting the targets.
Right.
Khalil Herbert, where's he at? You're getting away from what works. And I said that quick passing game, that was looking good. Caleb was doing very well with that. You know what I mean? And my thing is, I know it's only week two, but, I mean, Shea Waldron and Seattle and Geno Smith and all that, listen, that's kind of overplayed to me because I'm looking at him now. I'm like, you got a Ferrari that you're responsible for. We got to see more from you, man. I hope there's not a situation where Caleb is in this offense right now and then we're moving in another offensive coordinator in year two because this offense sucks and they say, you know what, let's get this guy out of here. But right now, underperformer, Shane Waldron, got to be better.
Without a doubt, man. And to that point, last year, we did run the football well, though. You know, it wasn't just, you know, Justin Fields out there running the football. So now
we were running over everybody.
Yep. And to see that we can't do none of that right now, bro. It's like, wait a minute, we can't run the football at all, you know? So that for sure, you got to look at your, you know, OC and say, hey, man, what's up? You know, we can't throw it. We can't run it. Come on now. You can't have that many problems, right, Perez? We can't block. It's like you got too much going wrong. So you got to look at Shane and say, hey, man, you got to get this thing right. So it falls on his shoulder.
And Caleb, we ain't letting you off the hook over here, too. You got to be better, too. Yep. I don't give a fuck who you dap up with after the games, but I need to see some production out there now. Again, what did we say preseason about this guy? No excuses. I understand he's a rookie. It's only two games. So I'm not going to put the kid under a heavy microscope right now. But I need to see some signs, bro. And the clock is ticking.
Then, you know, we always give players, you know, a lot of grace, you know, in general, especially when they first get on this team and having their first couple games. But to your point, man, you a guy that, hey, drafted number one. We expecting a lot out of you. And that's kind of what comes with the territory, you know. So you got to step your game up, brother.
I mean, it's not like he's in a situation with Bryce Young, where Bryce Young gets benched after 18 games. But that situation in Carolina was a shit show. Sure they gave him nothing to work with. Here in Chicago, man, they tried to make this thing pretty seamless for you outside of this offensive line, which I think is probably a lot of the problem. But my thing is, though, still, we need to see something more from you. And I think that I'm not looking at this guy, A-Dub, and thinking he's not going to be the long-term solution. I think that we got something here with him.
Yeah.
But we just need to make sure that we're putting him in the positions to succeed.
And right, exactly, Perez. And that's what it's all about right there, you know. Put them in that position to see the OC got to do a better job. You know, the O-line got to do a better job. So it's a lot, right? And at the end of the day, you talked about him as well, taking some criticism that, hey, he got to help himself too. So, you know, you can't just follow down that rabbit hole, you know, and hurt yourself and hurt the team out there. So everyone got to be better, bro, in that offense.
Yes, sir. Well, obviously, next week, Indy on the road.
Mm.
Anthony Richardson, man, that kid, he's a dynamic ball player, and that's going to be a real, real tough matchup. I can't wait till you and I break that one down later in the week, man. But honestly, man, 1-1 after two games, I'll take it, right? Because the Texans, that's a tough battle. I think now you have an opportunity with the Colts and the Rams coming up on the schedule for the Bears to potentially put themselves in position to potentially win the next 2 weeks, right? We'll see. You know, the games aren't played on paper, but I feel like you're not going to be facing top five defenses like they have the first 2 weeks. So, you know, we'll break it down a little bit later in the week. But again, audience, that was a tough one just because, like, we saw that we had the opportunity, like I said earlier, A-Dub, to steal one, right? And we let it slip through our fingertips, you know?
Got a chance now to win in week three. Go out there and handle business.
And audience, listen, we appreciate you guys and your continued support of this show, for rocking with us. And listen, it's been a process with this team. And for people that have been here with me and A-Dub since day one, You probably like, man, you guys still be saying the same shit from when y'all first started this show. Probably. You know what I mean? I might have to go listen to episode one and see, right? Ain't done.
Because you're right. I do appreciate them as well for rocking with us, man. But man, we want to see this Bears team do well, and right now we got some hope. The sky isn't falling just yet, but we want to see this team, man, turn things around.
Yes, sir. Well, listen. On to Indy, and audience will be hollering at y'all later in the week. Peace.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.